Hey, what is up, ladies and gents, or he, she, them, however you choose to identify these days. It is 2021, so who knows? And I'm sure I just offended half of our listeners. Anyways, I digress. Welcome to Dope and Dharma. I am Dharma. He is Dope. What's up, man?
I don't think you offended half the listeners.
Yeah, who knows? Either way, welcome everybody. This is Dharma Time. This is the segment of our shows that we try to kind of talk about some spiritually based things. You know, I come from obviously a Buddhist perspective. We did a show last week on selfishness, right? You know, the pros and cons of that, I guess. Today I have to talk about what just happened, right? With the whole Bezos space thing. But anyways.
Yeah, you have to.
Before I get into that, let me do a little bit of housekeeping, just so everybody kind of knows who they're listening to. By all means, if you guys are watching this live on facebook.com/WPSN99, you're able to communicate back and forth, give us your opinion, give us your comments. We'd love to hear them, and we'll address them live here. If you're listening to this on a podcast, thank you so much. Whatever your major podcast forum is, it's on there. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can get updated when we put new shows up. And then if you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube, which would be youtube.com/DharmaTime, also make sure you hit the subscribe button and hit that little bell so you can get notified when a new show is uploaded. And feel free to share it with people and spread the word, because it helps us and it helps them, hopefully. So, anyways, that's the housekeeping part. How's your day going, man? I haven't been outside yet today. All my business has been conducted indoors as of today. However, as soon as the show's over, I will have to go. I have to go train somebody. But I don't know. I'm assuming it's really, really hot, probably. Have you been outside, or have you been inside all day too? Uh-oh. Am I losing you? I can't hear you. Good times. See, this is what happens when you bring in the older generations to these little doohickeys and technology. Remember the old joke where your parents can't program the VCR? Yeah, I think that's what we're dealing with here. Because right now I can hear him, or I can see him, and he can hear us, but we can't hear him. But yeah, he's completely. You're gonna have to probably leave and come back every time that happens. Come on, Grandpa, you can do it. I believe in you. Because we can't hear you, bro. Yep, there he goes. Anyways, so while he's figuring all that out, let's talk about what today's topic's going to be. So for those of you who are watching this either live or within a couple days of us putting it out there, today was our second resident billionaire, I guess, going up to space. You know, the first one wasn't, I guess, he's not really resident of the U.S. I think he's in the U.K. or whatever, but Charles Branson. I don't even remember his freaking name. Branson, whatever his first name is, from Virgin. He went up into space, I guess, like 10, 11 days ago. And then, oh, here he is. Hey, he's back. Can you hear me now?
You didn't tell me that. Oh, there it overrides it.
There you go. So I was just
the
explaining.
Phone overrides.
Oh, does it? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Anyways, I was just explaining to the listeners, man, that, we had Branson went up. 10, 11 days ago up into space, and then today Jeff Bezos went up. I watched them both. I watched Jeff Bezos live today. Branson, I watched via YouTube, whatever. I watched the clips afterwards. And they're both very interesting, right? I mean, with Branson, it was kind of cool because the way he did it was basically to piggyback on a bigger plane, go up high enough, and then disengage and finish the trip essentially that way in a more traditional plane-looking type vehicle, I guess. And then they kind of just flew up into the stratosphere. Yeah, he flew up to the stratosphere, hung out a little bit. What I liked about it was he had like a really cool moment there when he addressed the listeners and said, hey, I was once a kid with a dream. And it was a really cool moment where he addressed the philosophical kind of moment that was happening in front of all of us. And it was like a very real, intimate, kind of vulnerable moment with him. It was kind of a cool thing. And I'm sure it was all on purpose because he had cameras everywhere. So I know he wanted to market it, which is probably why he's a billionaire, because he knows how to do those things. But it was a really cool moment. And then they came down, landed, and that was that. And then today, Jeff Bezos went the more traditional route of what we expect when we think of shuttles and stuff, was a a vertical style kind of rocket that went up, and this went up, and when it got high enough, it separated, and the top capsule part continued on. They hung out for a few minutes, and then it came down and landed. Before we get started on how cool that was, let me first address the big pink elephant in the room. Yes, I, along with you and probably many, many, many other people, we cannot hide from the fact that Jeff Bezos' rocket ship looked an awful lot like an erect penis. Just going to put that out there. It totally did. I don't know. If anybody didn't see that, look again. But I will say, just addressing what I saw, it was really cool, man. To watch, first of all, watch it going up and realizing that that wasn't government supported in any way. That was just private people with a dream that, like, look, I want to go to space. I'm going to make it happen. Like, that's amazing to me. And then the fact that when it went up, when they showed the rocket, when it separated, it came and landed like on by itself on a little pad. I don't care how many times I see that, I'm still just as impressed, because I know the amount of man hours and technology and everything else that have to go into making that thing happen. It's undeniably impressive as far as I'm concerned. And then when I went up to space, to hear the adulation in their voice, to hear them talking about it, it was really cool. And it couldn't help but to make me feel proud, right, to be human. Like, what we're able to accomplish when we really put our mind to it, right? However, that was immediately followed up by the other side of things, right? And I think that's where we come in as the Dharma Time, to talk about kind of riding that fence a little bit. And the fence that I'm talking about is, on one hand, we have these billionaires going up in space doing amazing things, like, that are going to help benefit all of mankind moving forward, right? Like, the amount of products and innovations that are going to spin off from all the stuff that they did to make that happen is going to do nothing but benefit all of us. And if they continue on the track that they're on, there's a point where we all could potentially be in space ourselves, man, like, from a commercial standpoint, which is amazing.
No, thank you.
Yeah. But then the other half of that equation is, there's a lot of people out there who are questioning whether, is that the best you, first of all, should anybody on this earth be worth $200 billion? And second of all, is that the best use of their money, right? That's the debate that's taking place, is the benefits of, you know, mankind and all these dreams and aspirations coming true and all the other stuff. And then the other half is, morality speaking, you know, is that the best, right? And so I'll say, to get it started, I'll say what I think it was Jeff Bezos responded to. It was either Jeff or Branson. I don't remember which one said it, but because they were asked, essentially, is that the best use of their resources? Could they not be helping, you know, mankind in a different way? And one of them said, you know, you can do both. You know, they pledged millions of dollars to different charities and pre-education and stuff for the youth of the world and whatnot. And other words, two things can be true, right? You know, just like with us, with our own budgets and our own household, can we all say that every single dollar that we earn goes to the best possible, you know, direction? No. Anytime you go buy, like, Dunkin' Donuts in the morning and grab a coffee or grab a 12-pack of donuts, you immediately didn't spend your money the best way you could, right? That's not an investment. That's a splurge. That's a whatever, right? The difference is our $10, $12 splurge of Dunkin' Donuts, you know, that's a percentage of our income that we can do and feel fine about. 10, 20, 30 million for them is kind of the same thing. And I know it's hard for us to imagine that because I don't have that kind of money. You know, $10 million to them is almost like Monopoly money. It really, truly is. And I know that's a hard thing to fathom, but we got to put it in perspective, right? And so I think that, for me, that is the philosophical question. I have my own thoughts about it, but as we get into it, obviously we'll both share. But Lou, do you got anything to add right now, just based upon what's already been said?
Well, first of all, I think Bezos definitely is the smarter guy, right? He proves to be the smarter guy. He's talking about scalability. He's talking about the future of how he can turn it into a money maker. Plus, he advantageously knew that people were going to question his money and count his money. I'm not someone else's money counter.
Right.
But he knew that people were going to do it, which is why he gave away the $100 million awards to people so they can divvy up to charities of their choosing. So
right.
That was but definitely the smarter of the two. Branson, on the other hand, is the cooler of the two.
Yeah.
And so I'm more of a Branson guy.
I'd rather hang out with Branson than Bezos.
All day long.
Yeah. However, I will say
as a cooler lifestyle.
Yeah, I will say though that Bezos, the thing that I find impressive about him, and this goes into the whole, this is where the debate's eventually going to go when it comes to the money situation, but he has been systematically proving people wrong for decades now. Like when he first got into the whole Amazon idea, what is a concept in his garage, people were telling him it's not going to work, it's stupid, you shouldn't do it, and then he proved them wrong. And then when Amazon made certain choices going into certain different fields, they're all, you shouldn't do that. I think when he was first getting, when he first went public, they were all telling him that he needed to make money now to make his shareholders happy. Instead, he spent his time trying to build the foundation of a good company and putting warehouses and locations and things of that nature, as opposed to trying to make a quick turnaround for his shareholders. And everybody tell him that was a bad idea. Obviously, he proved it wrong. So just there's many benchmarks in his career where there's been a lot of people who've questioned and even criticized his steps, and he's made a history of proving them all wrong, right? So, I mean, but yes, I agree with you, though, that Branson is probably more fun to hang out with.
Well, that's the thing. Well, and not just that, just, you know, he speaks more to our lifestyle, right? And I think he's the more real of the two. I think you know, Bezos comes off calculated and kind of phony. But besides that, I mean, that's just a personality thing. Principles before personalities, right? So principles wise, both guys did amazing. I applaud both of them. I wish Musk would have been part of this deal a little bit, because
he kind of is, right? With SpaceX.
Yeah. Well, I just think Musk is the real badass of all three of them. Yeah. No matter what, because I think all those guys are putting their money to good use. I told you philosophically, I think it's a great idea, but you know, as a regular old mojo down here, I'm not a fan of everybody going up there and who knows what they're going to do, what they're going to screw up out there, where they're going to drop, you know, or what that's going to change, or, you know, knowing how fast things move once a certain invention gets done.
Right.
It's like, I don't know if I'm ready for the next 10 years.
Well, every sci-fi movie starts off this way, right?
Yeah, whenever there's a new, real, intense, very different invention, whether it be computers, whether it was cell phones, internet, stuff like that. Now, space, like, travel just for fun.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, 10 years is going to go by fast,
yeah.
And there could be a complete different thing happening within 10 years. And I don't know how good it is. Now, we're all looking at it from the perspective of what we know, which is the United States, the billionaires that we know. We're not thinking too much about, what about the billionaires that we don't know?
Yeah.
You know, that's the stuff I'm more concerned
with. Because there's actually from what I saw this morning, there's actually dozens and dozens of different smaller, you know, people/organizations that are all working on their own space type program at the moment. So, because that's the thing about technology.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. So to hear that, it's like,
Well, that's the thing about technology, right? Is you can't keep it forever. Like at some point, when you do something, somebody else says, "Well, I can do that too," and then they start working on it. Next thing you know, we're all, you know, it's a space race again. Yeah. And yeah, philosophically speaking, it makes me wonder. You know, we're going to get a little off topic here, but the idea of like land ownership, right? Like, is it really mine? Can I really say this land is mine just because I walked on it? You know, that's what we've all agreed on.
Yes, I can, Trinity.
I can. Well, maybe, you know, there's an argument to be made that nobody can own the land kind of a thing. But then inevitably space comes to mind. Like, who owns space? Who's going to be the first person to claim a part of, you know, that? How is that going to get ugly? You know, suddenly Trump's Space Force doesn't look so crazy, right? Like, you know, we're going to get to that point where, if it becomes more accessible to people, and then because they're already talking, putting hotels up there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff taking place, and you know, if that happens, like, yeah, what ball did we just kick off rolling? You know, I mean, we have no clue where that's going to land.
What, like, I'm talking about.
For instance, you know, there's a theory out there that we all came from tardigrades, right? Tardigrade is a microscopic little being thing that can essentially survive anywhere, and there's a theory in the scientific community that an asteroid or something hit, had tardigrades on it. Those tardigrades got off and evolved over, you know, millennia into what we see now. And then I think it was a couple years ago, something landed on Mars that had some stuff in it. And one of the things that it had in it was, like, for lack of a better word, a jar. I don't think it was a jar, but something that contained tardigrades in it. And that,
message
that thing,
in a bottle.
Yeah, it crashed on Mars. And so there was in the scientific community, there's a massive, like, finger-pointing kind of debate where people were being called out saying, you're irresponsible. You don't know what you just did. Like, you could have just created light. Like, you have no clue. You could put tardigrades on a moon that they didn't belong on, and they can survive anything. So that's an example of how quickly, like, we watch all these movies and we get to think Hollywood does these great stuff, but a lot of the stuff is based on at least a sliver of fact, right? Like, that's how things get started. And so the idea that anybody and everybody can start going to space is a little disconcerting, for real. But I think that's a different philosophical debate for a different day. I think the one I want to focus on today, though, is, you know, is it worth it? You know, are the benefits of the space exploration enough to balance out, I guess, what many would consider irresponsible spending, I guess, versus should somebody even be worth $200 billion, right? I think that, because that is the debate. And to be honest with you, the people who are having that debate, let's just full transparency and full disclosure, the people who are having that debate are broke people. And I don't mean broke as in living on the streets broke. I mean, you're not a millionaire, right? Because once you hit that bracket of million, billions, whatever, you start to look at things a whole lot differently because, well, it's yours now and you have to lose it. And you know what it took to get there and what it takes to maintain it. And so your attachment to that or your view of that is much different than those who don't have that, right? Much in the same way, you know, I look at, you know, once again, I look at going to Dunkin' Donuts to grab a 12 box of donuts and a coffee much differently than the homeless person does on the street who has nothing, right? So it kind of scales up as we go. So it's easy for us to sit around when I haven't made a company worth billions of dollars. I haven't, you know, paid people hundreds of thousands of dollars and invested millions of dollars of my own money to send a rocket up into space. I didn't do all that because I don't have it. If I had it, would I not? I don't know. Ask me if I make that kind of money. Ask me at that point, right? But that doesn't stop me from having an opinion. So we just got to make sure we full transparency. The people who are really debating this are the people who don't have the millions. And so that has to be said. So as far as, I guess, starting with the 200 million, let's just start with the 200 billion. Let's start there, I guess, on that side of the equation. Because I think you and I are, for the most part, in line with how we feel, although I think we falter slightly. And what I mean by that is on one hand, I 100% agree. If you put in the work and the sacrifice and the whatever it takes to achieve that level of success in your life, who am I to come tell you that the system is wrong and you should give it back, right? Like, you played in the same system that I played in. You used whatever tools and advantages you had access to, and you made the best of them, and now you're, you know, $200 billion. I don't think it's fair for me to come and tell you as a person that you have to do things differently now. So my personal, and I think that's where you and I agree, where I think you and I kind of divert just a little bit, is the fundamental idea, I guess, of capitalism, in the sense that I don't know what it says about a system that allows one person to control that much of the pie. So for me, from a philosophical stance, I don't know if I like the idea or a system that it can allow that much disparity to take place when there's so many that have nothing. And I'm not talking about the ones that have nothing that chose to just sit around and live off the system and things of that nature. It's a very small percentage. I'm not talking about those. What I'm talking about is the larger group of people who are out there trying to get ahead, and for whatever reason, really, it's difficult. And I'm not saying that those people deserve to have a Ferrari or a Porsche or whatever, but there's many people that I don't know if a system is a system that I agree with, that it can allow a hardworking individual to be taken out by like one accident at work or whatever, and it completely takes you out, when there's people out there who are $200 billion and nothing could take them out or their family out or their generations out. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not convicted on either one. You know, I'm in the middle of that one. I see both sides, but go for it, man.
I'm not sure I understand your question, to be honest with you.
How do you feel about the idea that somebody can be worth $200
billion?
Yeah.
I think it's way too much for me to even comprehend.
Right.
I figured, you know, because I can't view it outside of another box other than the box on top of my shoulders.
Yeah.
And it within that excuse me, the box on top of my shoulder says that if you argue about anything or complain about anything or don't like anything, just run, you know, buy your own country, run your own deal. And then in that point, you know, who cares? But, you know, as far as do I think there should be a cap? I guess that's the real question then, as opposed to what, you know, a person having 200 billion and doing what they want with it or what is the alternative? You know, I would need to understand the alternative to even know, you know, how to pass judgment on $200 billion. Right. Here's what I would say to this. I do know that people of wealth are the ones that make the world go round. Yes. This is, I think, that you and I have had this conversation a lot, whereas we have this, there's a way of thinking like things like, oh man, it's the blue collar that actually builds the world and creates the world, does all the hard work and all that stuff. And we have this ideology that that's true. And that is partly true.
Physically, yeah.
If you're thinking about the physical nature. But blue collar doesn't do anything without getting paid to do it. So the person that takes the risk and has the vision and the invention and pays the scientists and the inventors their value to keep progressing forward is the one that creates the positions and creates the jobs. So I think that we need to value all sides respectfully.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Think we don't tend to do that. I think that anything outside of respecting both equally is divisive.
Well, no, rich is bad. When I look at, that's what Hollywood teaches. Sorry? Rich is bad. That's what Hollywood's been teaching us for years.
Pop culture common. It's cool. And, you know, this tax the rich stuff.
Is, yeah.
You know, yeah. Well, anytime you purchase something, there's a tax to it. I don't know if people that say that don't purchase things. Are they not used to going to the store and seeing that whenever you buy something, there's a tax attached to it? So people that purchase and move money around is helping the system. What doesn't help the system is to hide it under your bed or to put it in a jar. Those people that do that are not helping the financial system. And they're allowed to do that with their money as well. But the people that reinvest, create, purchase things, create jobs and help them, that's actually moving money around the system and opportunity. So if he's worth $200 billion, I'm going to assume that that's feeding a lot of people. That's feeding a lot more people than I can even count. And those people impact a lot more people than they can even count. And just like it trickles in any direction, I would say that $200 billion trickles down to a point where there's probably a million people getting fed from that $200 billion. And we've all participated. We all do Amazon. So, you know, if you have a problem with someone like Bezos, then think about your own purchasing and ask yourself, are you willing to change your purchasing over being a little jealous or unhappy with how someone is going to deal with the profits that you just gave them? I don't know.
Well, that's
I'm less concerned with his $200 billion than I am. Like, if I wanted to go to a concert these days, that the average cost of a concert is like $70.
Yeah, that's right.
Or even in some places it's $700. Like I saw, like when my daughters were young, I think it was like $700 to go to Taylor Swift. I said, "Are you out of your freaking mind? There's no way I'm buying a ticket for $700." You know, so I look at something like that. That seems a lot more outrageous. At least the way he got his money, he nickeled and dimed me to death. I gave him $12. Yeah. I gave him $12. I gave him $12. Next thing you know, he's up in a rocket.
I think he earned his in a sense. I think he earned his in a sense of he made a better mousetrap, dude. I mean, he made something that's undeniably made all of our lives easier. Like, why should that person not make money from that? Like, if money is the way that we show our quote-unquote value or our reward system, that's how we're structured as a country, then why should he not have more than most other people? I mean, what he – now, granted – go ahead.
I would correct you. Not just as structured as a country. We're structured as a world that way. The common way to speak today is to act like the United States is the only capitalist society. No, no, no.
No, I don't think we are.
We are just the biggest and baddest. Though. The whole world is a capitalist society for real. You know, money buys you anything, anywhere. Not just here, anywhere. Meaning everybody takes your cash. Right. If you have cash and you want to do something anywhere in the world, they will take it. Nobody in any part of this world that I know of is giving away anything of significance for free. So this anti-American sentiment that goes along with just a, I know that's not what you meant by it, but no. Some people speak like that, but they mean much more to it.
Sure.
They think it's an American thing. No, this is a world thing. No, I don't think it's an American thing.
Well, I guess what I was inferring is there's other cultures still, even in some of these countries, that that like some of these Aboriginal countries still don't have anything. There's other socialist countries.
But they don't want anything.
No, but my point was, I was just differentiating between us and them. So we as a society, we've agreed that money is going to be essentially how we show our rewards and things of that nature. And so if that's how we have all agreed to do, then why shouldn't people like Elon Musk, people like Jeff Absolutely. Bezos, who are actually as many as lives as we've saved, right, together, cumulatively, both through my own fitness stuff, and then together in the addiction world or whatever, or just being a bigger brother to somebody, whatever, right? You and I are in those people's worlds, we're super impactful. But in the world at large, I definitely think Bezos and all of them have had a much larger impact than you and I ever will, right? And no matter, you and I could continue to do what we're doing until we're old and gray, well, more gray, and we'll never come to even a percentage point of the way those people have moved the needle. No. And I think that has to be acknowledged and respected.
Absolutely.
And that kind of bleeds in, right? So this topic is gray in a sense of it's not very easily cut down the middle as far as the two different things here, right? Because that is part of the idea of when people say, hey, you use your money more responsible, right? You spent, I don't know how many millions of dollars it was spent to develop the technology and send this thing up there for a 4-minute flight, right? And people are arguing that the amount of money you spent on that could have been spent elsewhere to help other things, right? And so that's where I think the gray area comes in because, yeah, you know, short-term, immediate impact, sure. You know, you could have done that and helped people for, you know, however long. It's kind of like teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime, give him fish, feed him for a day, right? What they just did, we don't know the impacts of that and what they do on a current basis because it's not just about how much money did you donate to this cause. Right, that's a fantastic thing, but as you pointed out, the taxes that they spend every time they buy a property, the millions of dollars they pay in taxes and things of that nature goes to build our roads and things of that nature. And then more importantly, you're old enough to remember when this was like a big kind of well-known fact. Today's generation probably doesn't get, it's not hammered into us as like it was when I was a kid and when you were younger. And that is, do you know how many things we are right now utilizing because of NASA? Right, when NASA was building their space program and sending people into space, it got a lot of heat because it was just like a money pit. But then they started realizing, you know, right off the top of my head, I know the one that they made a big deal out of was Tang, right, the drink. Now, granted, that didn't help society much, but like some of our mattresses, there's so much technology and innovation.
Oh, our plastics, our metals. Yes.
There's so much
NASA
technology.
NASA created so many different plastics and metals and suction. Vacuum cleaners.
And there's things that you and I don't even know about. There's machinery and mechanisms that go to make other industries work that we're not even aware of because it's not a
packaging.
Yes.
Keeping food, you know, good for a very long time, preservation, all that.
And one could argue that those things are priceless because we utilize them all to this day. And so when you look at even now, look at what Bezos and Musk and all them are doing to the space program. Yeah, I mean, they're chasing their dreams and they're spending their money how they see fit. And would it immediately help out X amount of families if you donated that money? Sure, it would. But humanity wouldn't benefit from you paying off this person's mortgage, let's say. Right? Humanity around them might benefit, right? Because they might have more money that could pay it forward. And it is a domino effect, right? Because from a spiritual perspective, we're all interconnected. I get that. But I think that they will have a much larger impact on humanity as a whole when all the stuff that went into making this dream possible starts to filter through to the rest of us, right? First and foremost, don't take away the hope. That's number one, because that's what I like most about Branson's, you know, speech that he made when he was up there, essentially. And that was, it gave me goosebumps, man. When he was like, look, I was just a kid with a dream. I'm no better than any of you people. Like, I just, when I was a kid, I dreamed of it, and here I am right now, 60-some miles up in the atmosphere. And that gave me goosebumps because that's what it did. There's somebody out there right now, the next Elon Musk, the next Branson, the next Bezos, watch that stuff happen today, and in the decades to come, it's going to come to fruition. That's how those things are sparked. Well, go ahead.
Well, that's why I'm so amazed by Elon Musk, and that's why he's my top, because he did it. Look at the age he's at. and he did it.
Yeah, that dude.
You know what I'm saying? These guys, Lex Luthor, like, man. You know, dude, Bezos and Branson, they're later in advanced. So I'm glad they got to do it, you know, before, you know, unfortunately, you know, their life is over, you know. But someone like Elon Musk, there's so much more to do. We have to support the future Elon Musks that are out there, because look how young he is and he did it. But I want to go back to some of that stuff that stuff you were saying about how different scales, right? Like the donuts to us compared to their donuts, you know, or the millions.
That's such a hard thing to fathom for people, though, even myself included.
Like a dozen donuts. Well, I'm going to put it like this. Asking someone with $400 billion or $200 billion or whatever it is to not keep creating and making is like asking you to stay indigenous. Nobody should stay indigenous.
Yeah.
Even the indigenous people don't stay indigenous once they're exposed to things that are not indigenous. The only difference is, and for some reason, in some brains, the ideology to stay indigenous was never long. Like, they're like, I don't know what tribe you came from. Do you know what tribe you actually came from? Because we all were indigenous, right?
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah.
But there's no tribe, Trinity, that looks like you.
No.
There's no tribe that you can really, well, that you can go back to and go like, well, there are still indigenous people.
Right.
Because once indigenous people are exposed, they are no longer indigenous. And so asking someone with that kind of wealth to stay indigenous and like, you know, just stay, you know, using that weapon. You know, don't go create a bigger weapon or better weapon, even though it would kill the animal better. No, stay right there with that weapon, because that's the weapon of our forefathers and our forefathers and our forefathers. Well, the brain that they have comes from a long line of non-indigenous people that were always exploring and moving the needle. Yeah. They weren't staying still. So those of us still relatively in a very different set, we're probably a lot closer to the indigenous than they are. You know what I mean? They come a lot, they're a lot more alien than I am. You know what I mean? They have a lot more alien genetics. I have probably a lot more Neanderthal genetics. And so I think that those things come into play here of exploration and creation and moving that needle and being settled. So it's not just the money, but it's also the ingenuity. And there's a lot of people out there that have $0, but they're constantly inventing and creating.
Oh, yeah.
There's guys out there that you know, you go to their house and you see, man, they've like invented all kinds of little things, even in their own environment, or build things with their hands, and it's like, well, that's that creativity. I don't have that. I need Elon Musk's and Branson's and Bezos and stuff to bring it to my doorstep or show it to me, and then I can purchase it, because there's no way that I'm inventing it or creating it. So I don't know what Bezos' true purpose is, and we are way too early in timeline to even know the total impact of these men that we just watched do what they did. But I can guarantee you this, if true that the sun will burn out eventually, I don't care if it's hundreds of millions of years from now, then this had to be started at some point. If it's true that our air quality would get to a point that someday it will not be livable, or the temperature will not be a place that we can sit, you can live in, then this is 100% necessary for the option. Now, I don't want to go anywhere, Trinity, but I'm going to be long gone. I am cool with staying right here. Let me burn up, you know, whatever I got to do. But the move will most definitely be necessary, whether it's 10 generations from now or a million generations from now. So this is highly significant and highly necessary, and I don't think we can truly even grasp the significance of what we just witnessed.
No, nobody can. It's impossible, because it's unknown.
Yeah.
And I think that I honestly think, though, that the debate, like I said, first and foremost, it's being had by people who don't have that kind of money. And so it's always, like you said, it's always easier to count somebody else's money.
Everybody wants to count someone else's money.
But I think that, from a philosophical standpoint, and I could be wrong, if you're listening to this or watching this live, by all means, if you have an opinion, put it out there, we'll cover it. But I think that what the masses, if you will, who bring up these types of debates, I think what they're struggling with is, once again, not the people who choose to live, you know, below poverty and kind of just, you know, live off the system type thing. I think that they're looking at the people who, like even you and me, right? You know, you and me, we're in different brackets, obviously, but we're in the same bracket in the sense of one good accident, dude, we're not going to be doing as well as we are. You know, like if you had an accident on your way wherever tomorrow and it messed up your cognitive abilities, right? Because you don't make your money out there digging ditches physically. So you could be in a, you could technically be in a wheelchair and still kind of do what you do. So
absolutely,
if you had some sort of a stroke or some sort of something that messed up your cognitive abilities, your earning potential is potentially done. And so you're going to have to live off of and maybe you plan for that, maybe you haven't, right? But even if you did plan for it, I guarantee you your status would have to drop a little bit. I don't think you would be doing the same things you're doing now.
Right.
And then myself, if I got in an accident, same thing, right? And so I think that that's what people struggle with is good, hardworking people who are making the quote-unquote right decisions, right? They're not making the decisions that would make them billionaires, but they're making decisions where they're contributing to society. They're not a liability. They're not sucking off the system. They're earning their keep. They're socking away a little bit here and there. They're doing, by all accounts, they're doing what they're supposed to do, right? What they're told to do. And then one thing outside of their control in theory, right? You could argue that the control is there because you just don't drive or don't, you know, but it's not reasonable to expect somebody not to do those things. So if they're doing a reasonable activity and something unreasonable happens to them and now their entire family is just destitute and screwed, I think that's what people are having a problem with, is that can happen in our current system to where somebody else who made some pretty decent decisions, or even not even that. Maybe somebody just made, I don't want to trivialize it, but let's say an actor, right? They're the easiest ones to pick on, so let's pick on them. If your job is an actor, you're making $40 million a flick, you know, why is it okay that because you got up there and smiled in front of the camera and you know, played pretend with your friends, your family now is much better taken off when my husband is out here, you know, building, you know, the skyscrapers and the bridges or whatever it is that helps this country go, and now we're destitute. I think that fundamentally is what people have a problem with, is the fact that that scenario is possible. And I don't think there's an easy answer to that, if I'm honest. Right. I mean, we can debate it all day long, and smarter people than us haven't come up with a solution, obviously. But I think that is what rubs people the wrong way.
Well, here's what I like about what we just witnessed. What we just witnessed are individuals that I think, at least for these, And I would throw Musk in it too. I can't throw him out of this, you know, this conversation. They're very aware that this is a we thing. All three of these individuals made money off all of us. This is all of our victories. You know what I mean? We did this as a people. Right. We did this as a people. These are visionaries that we supported their products. We supported what their vision was. We supported, you know, whatever they did, and they achieved. And in their achievement, they help us have more of those same products that we've supported the entire time. So, you know, I think Bezos truly understands that this was a we thing. Everybody that's ever bought anything from Amazon just went to space today. You know, all of us did. You know what I mean? Those are the four that may have been up in that rocket. But all of us did it. All of us contributed to that. And earlier you had said that this wasn't government. It was all private. I would throw one little political thing in there. One would say that a lot of people spent them government checks on Amazon. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Amazon got a lot of that COVID money. So,
well, and the other argument can be made too, that he got a lot of tax breaks by building his, you know, places elsewhere and whatnot.
But. Well, and so that's the other side. The other side is that we all also suck off the system, including rich people.
Yeah.
And the only thing is when they suck off the system, it's a larger chunk, right? Just like when they benefit from the system, it's a larger chunk. So that's just the way the way the ball bounces. So like if you cheat $100 off your taxes, now just he's cheating $100 million off his. You know, it's just the way it is. But the point is that we all did. We as a people got that creation done. No invention is without a prior invention. No ideology is without a previous thought. No destination is without someone else already have saying, I think it's over there. So everything is cumulative. And so what we just saw today was an accumulation of a lot of things. And as long as people of this kind of wealth, they achieve this kind of wealth through a family of people, which is all of us, we are part of their tribe, then that is phenomenal. The fear here comes in the non-spiritual part of this, is that it's someone that is total deviant from beginning to end, that did nothing, that sucked completely off people of all fulfill purposes and never did anything grow as well. And they did this same exact thing. That is where I'm concerned about what they would do with that kind of power. And so those doors always get open. We've seen it in every superhero movie, and I'm not even a superhero movie watcher, right? Is you take a something that you go, wow, that would be phenomenal to be invisible or to be able to fly. And then there's always a supervillain that says, I will take that and I will use it this way. So there's always the scientist going, oh my God, I didn't invent it for evil. No, I'm sorry. All inventions are for good and evil. So that is just for us to decide. And everybody has the beautiful luxury of choice.
Yeah, I think one of the ways that I kind of look at this, right, because I'm not pro-billionaire and I'm not anti-billionaire. I'm just, you know, it is what it is. It's not mine. So if I had a billion, I'd be a hell of a lot more pro-billion, you know what I mean, because I had it. And that's just being honest with you. However, the way I look at it is I think there's dangers on both sides of that equation, right? There's a danger of, I'll start with the non-billionaire side, right? There's a danger of not realizing you don't know what you don't know. And what I mean by that is, like, there was a phrase that was coined back in the big recession that we had, the first one. No, well, not the first one, I guess the second one, technically.
But first one in your life, man.
Yeah, not the 1940s one, the other one, where the term too big to fail came out. Right, and I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But what they didn't realize, as people who aren't in that room making those decisions, too big to fail is an actual thing, right? Because if you don't like Bezos and all the things that he provides, well, would the world be better if he just wasn't? If we just canceled Amazon and everything that came with it tomorrow, clip their fingers, and it's gone. The people who work at Amazon making money to provide their family, if they woke up tomorrow to realize they don't have a job, Amazon's gone. Yeah. Would that really make the world better? I don't think so, right? I think there'd really be a lot of people without jobs. There'd be a lot of people without packages, without streaming services. There'd be a lot of people who wouldn't know what to do with their lives tomorrow and would have to build from scratch. And so I don't think that that's better. And so I think that much in the same way of like my kids, right? When I tell my kids, don't do this or go do that, I give them some sort of a rule. There's a little bit of animosity and resentment that comes from their stance because they don't see it through my eyes. They think I'm just telling them to do something. They don't realize that there's a method to my madness. There's a reason why I'm telling them not to go do this or not to go do that. And so I think when you're not in that, when you're not playing on that field, right? When you're not in those rooms making those kinds of decisions, it's very easy to armchair quarterback your way through it. It's very easy to challenge anything that you don't agree with because, well, yeah, there's a hint of jealousy that we all have, right? Like, am I a jealous person? No. But damn, do I wish I had $200 billion? Of course I do. Like, I'm not gonna lie about that. But I think it's just easy when you're looking around at your own life and comparing the two, it's very easy to call into question the judgments and the decision making of everybody else, right? Like, for instance, because there was a huge thing back not too long ago about Bezos and the fact that he was basically strong arming, you know, their words, not mine, strong arming certain counties or governments to give them a ton of tax breaks to lure them to build their warehouse there. And then they were doing that. And people were calling that into question, getting upset, like, why are you giving them all these tax breaks? Well, the people who were making those decisions were looking at it from their perspective. Like, look, I'm elected to make my area better. Well, right now, it's right here. Him coming in, no matter what it costs me, it's going to be a net positive. So it's going to bring my entire area up because everybody who has to build that warehouse is going to have a job and money. Everybody who comes and works there is going to have job and money. And all those people who live around that area are going to spend their money at the local mom. But it's just the whole economy just came up. And so if I have to give him a break to lure him here, that's still, no matter how I look at it, I did my job. I improved my area. That's what I was elected to do. And so it's easy to look at it simply as in, well, he's rich, he's getting a tax break. You're right, he is. But we all do the same thing, right? Like, if you go, anybody who has a friend who has a company, you've all probably at one point or another asked for some sort of a discount, right? You've asked for a discount, but that discount really only benefits you and your immediate family. Because we're not discounting you millions of dollars. We're discounting you like $50 on a night out. But that $50 that you saved that you might spend at a mom and pop store is not going to pay their mortgage. But Jeff Bezos getting that $5, $10, $20, $30 million tax break is going to feed dozens, if not hundreds, of families, right? And so you've got to look at it through that prism. I think when you're on this side of things, it's very easy to forget to look at the bigger picture of the too big to fail thing, right? However, on the other end of that thing, I also think it's it's a slippery slope, and it's kind of dangerous sometimes when you're on this end of things to forget the little people that helped you get there. Because it's kind of, it's hard, because I've heard so many people say things like, well, I got here on my own, I built it myself. No, you didn't, right? Like, with Jeff Bezos, right? You could argue that he built Amazon, you know, from the ground up, and he built it by himself. He might have had the idea, but without all those workers coming in every day and putting things in the packages and sending it, without all those people inventing the technology that he utilized to do that, without him having somebody who built the house that he started it at in his garage, because I'm pretty sure he didn't build that. I'm pretty sure he didn't, you know, pour the foundation and build his house. He didn't come up with the technology, all this other. So he built his business on the backs of other people. And without those other people, he would just be a dude out there in the woods with an idea. And so I think that it can be.
Honestly, I would say on the backs of, though, because that sounds negative.
That's
like when you say on the backs of, it's almost like, you know, like.
Well, it was. They're the ones who physically did the labor, and they're the ones who invented the things.
No, no, they all did it together. They just did a different type of labor. They all did it together.
I disagree with that.
You can't judge I don't think you.
I didn't say one is better or the worst.
The value of one type of labor over another.
I wasn't.
I think that all forms of labor are labor.
Yeah, but I wasn't. You're the one who took the on the back as a negative connotation. I'm just saying
that is a negative.
I guess I don't consider that personally as a negative. I just look at it as without the people inventing the computer that he used to do that, without people inventing the house.
That's why I said it's cumulative.
Yeah,
it's cumulative. And you need everybody. Everybody needs to do their job in order for it to be a value.
Yeah, I just think you took exception on the back. I don't see that as a negative thing. But what I'm saying is. Without everybody else, you're just a dude with an idea, right? Like, you're just
with
a dude. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Which is worth nothing to me, you know? And so I think it's easy for them to get a little into themselves and thinking that they are some, you know, omnipotent being of some sort, essentially.
Right.
And thinking that they don't have to care about the plight of the people below them. And that's why all these movies are always so popular, right? Where the rich person falls, and, you know, like all the, and that's why the undercover boss and all these things are important, because it shows the humility. And I think that that is a pitfall, is you can lose your humility and you can forget that. So I think that there's problems on both sides of the equation here.
Right. I think the issue with that, though, is that there's less of them that are able to do that than the other. And I think that's where the reward comes into play, because a lot more of us can swing a hammer. At the end of the day, it's a lot easier to teach a person to swing a hammer than to teach how to build that rocket. You know what I mean? The people he hired to build those rockets, you know, those individuals that studied that stuff, that we don't know their names. We don't know all their names. They created all that technology that he used. But those individuals right there are harder to duplicate.
Maybe.
You know, and then him as the mind behind it is harder to duplicate. Whereas, you know, it's easier to teach my children simpler tasks,
right?
That don't involve as much of that stuff. So, you know, those things, but it doesn't make it more valuable or less valuable. It just allows for that part that you're talking about, which is that godlike mentality or the irresponsible view that you're somehow better than other people. No, you just have talents that less people may have that you could put a value. But there's some people out there that have that kind of talent, but they never have that opportunity. So it'll never even get, you know, they may never have the opportunity. They may never even get noticed. They may have some bad luck. They may have gotten that car accident like you were talking about. You get an accident and you know, and so their world went a different direction, or a family member died very young. So they started doing something in a different direction. There's a lot of there's a lot of stories of individuals who are fantastically creative. Or geniuses that just never got these opportunities to even do this. But I would also say this, though. I think that's why whatever's responsible for making us and helping us progress as we are progressing, I think they understood that, and I think that's why there's so many that are kind of similar, but only, like, one is first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One is first, and one may be noticed by the media groups, and one may be a household name. But there's a lot just like that person out there doing it. They just didn't get there first.
Well, I think that's one of the interesting components of that debate, right? Is the great unknown, right? So to take the devil's advocate approach on that scenario, I don't know if I necessarily agree with this stance or not. I see the value in it, and that is how many more of those quote-unquote inventors, Jeff Bezos type, you know, Elon Musk's, are out there but never got the opportunity because the system that they're currently in stifled them, right? And let's not, I'm 100% that we all have choice, we all have that, but I'm not going to sit here and say that we all are born with the same starting block. We're just not, right? You're not going to tell me that, like, Elon Musk's kid is starting at the same spot my kids are starting at. Bullshit. Can my kids grow up to be the next Elon Musk? Sure, it's possible, but it's a hell of a lot easier for Elon Musk's kid with all the benefits that he has to kind of make those decisions. Absolutely, right? And so if we're in a system that can essentially stifle the lower end of the spectrum here, how many of those people, given the opportunity, would change the world? And that's, I think that's an argument that it's hard to argue against, right? That's just not how we're set up. That's not how capitalism works. That's not how the world works. It's, you know, the dog-eat-dog world, man. The fittest survive. That's the only argument to make, is the fittest survive. Sorry, I hate it for you. But at the end of the day...
I think you're missing hunger, though. I think you're missing hunger in that. Because if his son is less hungry, he's actually at a disadvantage to your kid.
Yeah,
because
but if they're both the same, hunger. If all things equal, he's got a different starting block.
But none of those people came from the kind of wealth that you're talking about.
Right. No, I agree.
None of those three came from those kind of families.
Yeah. Once again, it's possible. Is it likely? I don't know. I'd have to see the numbers on that one. I just know that I think that's an uncomfortable fact. I think that a lot of people kind of want to veer away from these days. Is we have this idea of the American dream and all this other stuff, and to say that it's gone is just not true. But to say that it's the same as it always was, I don't think that's true either. I think it's definitely considerably harder these days. I do think that there's a lot of things that are stacked up against this upward mobility that we once had. I don't know what causes that. I don't know how to change it. And I don't know what other circumstances contribute to that, because I don't make those decisions, you know. But I do think that, and I don't think it's what most people say, right? The sexy argument these days is it's basically holding down minorities or black people and they can't do. I don't think that's what it is. I think in our country there's a bigger problem between classes than there are between races. Mm-hmm. I think with money comes certain privilege and certain power and certain options that the other poorer classes don't get. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Spanish, whatever. If you don't have any money, it's a little bit different for you. That doesn't say that, once again, that's not to mean that you can't break through it, right? But I definitely think that it changes your journey a little bit, and there's more obstacles in front of you. But how many of those people would? Who knows, right? That's the unknown that you can't debate, because there really is no crystal ball that tells us that. It's all would be, could be, should be. And the other part of that, another uncomfortable truth that people don't want to admit, and you and I had done a show on this, actually, not everybody's going to be Michael Jordan, right? Like... Not everybody is meant to be.
Not even his own kid.
You can't have a bunch of Chiefs. You have to have Indians. You have to have the Hammer Swingers. Regardless if it's easier or not, or regardless if we're stifling creativity or not, that's beside the point. You can't have a bunch of Chiefs walking around. There has to be Indians. You know, and maybe I'm pissing off their Native American community. Who knows? But my point is, you can't have all bosses. You got to have workers. Somebody's got to take the trash out. Somebody's got to clean the toilet. Somebody's got to, you know, dig the ditch. So not everybody's going to be the Einsteins of the world. And so this, does it feel good to say, yeah, everybody should be the Einstein. Everybody should have a cushy office job and make all the money they want, and their family should be fine, and they should never have to go out there in the hot sun. It feels fantastic to think that. It's just not sustainable, and it's not realistic. Because somebody has to be out there. We have to have the grunts of the world. We have to have the people that are going to do the job that nobody else wants to do. And I think that to me is the balancing act of any major societies. How do you solve that situation? And I think an argument can be made in our country that we've done a great job, and I think an argument can be made that we haven't done a great job. I think, you know, I don't know which one I personally agree with. Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle, but I can see both of those. And I think that people having $200 billion going to space, you know, it brings that conversation up, right? It does. But I love the system that we currently have.
I do too. I think the challenges are just different. I think that my children and someone else's children, I mean, if you try to measure them by whatever tools you're viewing as advantages and disadvantages, you're going to think that my kids are more advantaged, but they're less advantaged than those other kids. Yeah. But I think it all depends on on number one, what they want and where they're going to get to and what they're going to, you know, what they derive from those tools. I think that that's why I brought up hunger. I think hunger is one of those tools that it's a habit. I've known a lot of children of very wealthy people that don't do anything with it.
Yep.
They either just don't have the talent, they don't have the drive, or it's a disadvantage for having that name, as much as you would think it's an advantage. Sometimes it's a disadvantage. So I don't think it's a cut and dry kind of situation.
No, not at all.
To call wealth an advantage. I think that because I am not part of the wealthy, I think wealth is an advantage naturally, right? Because I don't have it.
Of course.
So I would like to believe that wealth is an advantage. However, I see my kids, the way they treat their level compared to maybe some kids of less, how they treat their level. And the kids with less actually got those scholarships and got the better grades sometimes and earned a way into free college situations. And so I would like to say that, you know, my kids weren't as hungry. Not that my kids are less intelligent. They were less hungry. They knew that they were going to be able to go to college regardless. Those other kids didn't know that they were going to go to college regardless. So they worked a little bit harder to get that ability to get to college. So one would say that we all measure something based on our perspective.
Yep.
And you know, since this is a spiritual show and we're talking about wealth, you know, even wealth is a perspective. You know, yeah. Yes. You know, Bezos is a wealthy man if we're looking at dollars and cents as perspective or what he wants to do with his day. But, well, you know, let me take back that part.
He's also divorced.
He may not even be as free as you and I.
There's no way he's
you know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that wealth now. Yeah. And so he just, imagine having so much that when you wake up in the day, you can't just decide, you know, I'm just not going to do anything today. I can do that today. I realistically can just scratch off my entire day and say, you know what, I'm just going to go to the beach with Dana and we're just going to, you know, F off all day. He can't do that.
Nope.
You would like to believe that with $200 billion you could do that. No, you can't, actually, because that could cost you millions and millions of dollars. And you have to make a lot of decisions in a day.
Yep.
In order to keep that machine going, and people depend on you. And so I remember when I sold, I got out of all my businesses, and it was the first time I ever realized how stressed I was. I didn't know I was under stress until I didn't have all those employees. And I was like, oh, wow. I don't have to think about that big nut that I had to crack at the first of every month anymore. Yep. I just had to think about my house bills. And as much as that may be, it was still a hell of a lot less than it was when I had, you know, more. And I was like, whew, that was very liberating. It was, and I remember you know, talking about that and saying, wow, I never knew how stressed I was until I no longer had that stressor.
And we've all experienced that.
Yeah.
As kids, right? Yeah. Remember how simple your life was at 12 versus like when you have your own family?
And that depends, right?
Yeah,
and that depends.
Yeah. Unless you're that dude that had the worst life at 12.
Or the expectations placed upon you. I mean, there was obviously we all were around a 12-year-old that when they were going home, their dad was probably saying, you know, if you're going to play professional baseball, you got to do this all day long. I mean, you know, we just didn't see that kid hanging out with us. You know what I mean? Because they couldn't. You know?
Yeah,
I remember being in high school, and I remember being at a high school party. I'll never forget this. I've been at a high school party, and this kid was running. You know, we're outside in the front drinking, and we see this kid running in his, you know, in the gear to lose weight, you know, cut weight for wrestling. And it was like, dude, it's Saturday night, man.
Yeah.
And you're jogging with that. Come on in. And he was like, nah, man, I gotta cut weight. I got a meet coming up. And I was like, see, that's another love. That right there, that sacrifice. See, I don't have that. Whatever that kid had, I didn't have. You know, I fully expected that I would just say, yeah, I'm going to make money one day. And I was just going to make money one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But what his goal was, he knew, well, if I don't do this today, I'm probably not going to get that. So I better do it. So I don't think I've ever felt that underneath anything. I always felt like it'll happen. If I do put some work into it, I'll get it. You know what I mean? Right. But clearly there's a fear level that a person can have that thankfully I don't have for some reason, but it's too bad that I don't have it for other reasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it could be a negative and it could be a positive, but I just know I don't have it.
Right on. Well, you got any final thoughts on this topic before we break for the day?
Yeah, my final thoughts are this, you know, and this is, you know, I'm going to speak more to the people that like to, and I'm going to say hate on the rich because some people like to do that. know, just it's not necessary. Let's not hate on the rich. The rich do a lot for us, and everybody wants it. And just ask yourself, when you make money, what do you do with it? You know darn well that it's not split amongst everybody in your neighborhood. Next time you, if you don't believe me, next time you make a lot of money, just spread it around everybody. And I'm not saying you give money to a person that's begging or anything like that. I'm just talking to everybody. Just split it equally amongst your whole neighborhood and just see how you feel about it. The point is this, we just witnessed something phenomenal. I think it was great. I think that we as a people, as a human people, did something really phenomenal today. Because we all supported Bezos, because we all purchased the products, and we all purchased his wares, and we all followed his dream along with it. He made our life easier, and in turn, we blessed him with that opportunity to go up in space today. So we did it as a people. We did it with Branson. We did it with him. We do it with Elon Musk, and we should continue to support these geniuses that are in the spotlight, regardless of how quirky they may be, regardless of how flawed they may be. I don't care if they have 20 divorces. Clearly, at least two of those people, I don't know Branson's marital history, but I know Elon Musk has had a lot of failed ones, and I know that Bezos had one, but who cares? The point is that we as a people can do some amazing things together, and it's principles before personalities, and the principles that they're doing is they're advancing the human needle, and where this goes, who knows where it goes, but it was really cool today. Thanks.
I'm going to probably echo quite a bit of that, actually. However, before I do that, let me just remind everybody, thank you for watching. If you hung it out through the whole hour, I appreciate it. We don't make these things super long on purpose, but dialogue is dialogue. And once again, you can follow us on social media. He is at The Dope Doctor. I am at The Dharma Guy. We collectively are at WP at Sin99. You can also check out the foundation, which he's the founder, I'm the president, and that's at Now Matters More. And make sure you subscribe, share all those wonderful, fun things that you probably hear in every video. But to get to my final thoughts on that, I don't think I'm going to do any tips today, per se. I'm just going to give some final thoughts, and that is, I agree. What we witnessed today was miraculous, man, for humanity as a whole. We have no clue how each of us individually are going to benefit from this in the future. But it's not always about you individually. Sometimes it's about the collective, because you are part of the collective. You are a raindrop in the ocean kind of a thing. And the strides that did for us today, some of us might not ever know. But make no mistake, that brought humanity up a different level. It's amazing what the human species can achieve, given the motivation, the resources, and the accessibility, all those kinds of things. It's amazing. It never ceases to amaze me. And as far as the way that people spend their money, things of that nature, do I think that there's a debate there to be had? Absolutely. But I don't think that debate should supersede the importance of what accomplishments were done and accomplishments were made. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people who work at Amazon who are very happy with the way he spends his money. And we can't forget that. And this idea that we can judge how other people spend their money, I don't think is a fair judgment to make. Because as he pointed out, in his comments there, we all spend our money differently as well. Some of us give back more than others. Some of us don't. Some of us don't give back at all. Some of us blow money on hobbies and things of that nature that could have been, quote unquote, spent better elsewhere. And none of us, that I know of anyways, none of us would turn down a $200 billion paycheck. Somebody came to your front door and offered it to you, I don't think any of us would turn it down. And so until you're in that person's shoes and until you understand all the different nuances and pressures that surround that, just kind of chill out on the judgment there. Be more appreciative and less hating. Once again, that doesn't mean that a debate shouldn't happen, but there's a time and a place for that debate, and there's also a time and a place for just simple appreciation. And I'm going to choose today to appreciate. I'm going to choose today to appreciate, wow, I just watched something amazing. Twice. Once when Branson did it, once when Bezos did it. And I think that's really cool. So anyways, I think that's all I got for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I hope you got something from it. Make sure you share all those other things, and that's it. So now that you know better, do better. Peace.
Ha ha ha.
Are you still here? What are you doing? I told you, go do better.